The Alpha Sessions.
Hello, my name is Erica Jean and welcome to The Alpha Sessions. We're here with our guest Emily Sheila. Hello.
Woo! Good morning.
Good morning. And how have you found your tour so far? You've been in the UK.
Exhilarating. Non-stop. Yeah. And exciting, and I love meeting all the people that I have met already in these past 3 days.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's been amazing. And you had a gig in London.
Yes,
so Soho. What was it like with the audience compared to being in America?
Well, in different states, there's different reactions, different type of energy. And I loved London. I always loved playing here, and everyone was really receptive. And after the show, I got to meet with a few new listeners and connect with them. And I have some of them coming out to the show on the 19th as well.
Oh, that's so exciting.
So, yeah.
And listening to your music, you can hear a lot of different influences. You've got almost like a reggae. You've got some folk. You've got some drum and bass.
Yeah.
There's so many different types of music. But who do you listen to?
It depends what mood I'm in. So some mornings I will like to wake up and listen to some Megan Thee Stallion and get in my Cardi B trap mode and get ready for the day. Or sometimes I'm more chill where I listen to like Marabou and the XX and Florence. So yeah, just depends really what mood I'm in for that day.
Yeah.
And I also like heavy, hardcore screamo music too. So it's like, and I like classical, so it's just a bit of everything.
Mm. And some of your music really sounds quite moody, like Lana Del Rey as well.
Yes.
Are you a big Lana fan?
Yes.
What's your favorite song?
I really like Mariner's Apartment Complex and Venice. Beep. I know we can't say that, yeah, but you know it. What I'm talking about.
Uh-huh. That's really fun. And you've just released some new singles, including The Searcher. So talk to me about the song. How did you write it?
So I did a tour last October. And when I got back from that tour, I was heavily inspired to just put out my music as much as possible. And The Searcher is about looking out, traveling around the world and noticing that what I'm looking for, it's actually coming to me.
Mm.
So it's kind of a reminder to just chill out a little bit. You know, this is the journey. Don't try to get so close to getting to the end. Enjoy the ride.
Mm.
So that's kind of what The Searcher is about.
Yeah. And do you see like a particular journey going through the song? Is it about a particular journey in general? Is it kind of like just about life?
It's kind of just like about life. I'm really into like nature and going out. And so I start off with that and how I've explored different oceans across the world. And then I also talk about driving in a drop-low Chevy and how my mom's name is Sheila, which is my middle name. So just kind of throwing out little things.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think it's so nice as well. And family is such a big part of being creative. And I think like almost when you understand your roots, it helps you to write new material.
Yes.
Do you find that as well?
Yeah. My dad plays guitar. And my mom is a performer on the stage in many different ways. So I think I have a bit of both of my parents, which equals me.
Yeah. Split down the middle.
Yeah.
Funneled down.
Yeah. So.
And growing up in America, you live near Miami.
Yes.
So coming here, is the music scene quite different to America? Or do you find there's some similarities?
I would say it's more, actually, I would say it's not the same because there's so many different types of artists that have different timbres and intonation and things like that. But I would say it's just always exciting. I'm always exploring new artists, and the artists in America, it's very like vast with genres, just like here in London, you know? So, yeah, I wouldn't say it's like the same, but it's just all beautiful.
Yeah. And I went to America last year. I went to New York and I listened to some rappers and some singers on stage. And the thing that I didn't realize until I went was the accent change.
Mm-hmm.
When you're singing in an American accent, it sounds so different to English. And I think some of the accent is the same because some people in the UK have a American accent when they sing anyway.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, but hearing like everyone authentically having an American accent over there was really shocking to me because you can hear it on the radio when you like listen to American artists.
Yeah.
But actually listening to like singers and rappers in their authentic accent compared to listening to like a British rapper.
Yes.
There were certain words that Americans use in songs that we don't use because it wouldn't sound good.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which I found quite funny. So listening to English rappers and like songwriters when you were here in London, did you notice the difference?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's a English, I don't know if he's English, have you heard of 1-4?
No.
So he's like a rapper, hip-hop, and I love his English accent when he's rapping. Yeah. I would imitate it, but I'm not gonna embarrass myself. But I definitely can hear the difference between like another rapper in America. So it is pretty cool though.
Yeah. And another song that you've kind of released recently is Fire Pit. So I really like this one. It's very like, it talks about fire burning and really like, it's almost like not actually singable around a fire pit. You know, when like you think about a fire song, it'd be like a camp song, like very chill.
Yes.
I feel like this is more like, almost like you're tossing things into the fire. It's like quite angry. And
I like that.
What is it about for you?
So the last tour that I went on, I write a lot about my life experiences, or I write about experiences I hear from other people, and, you know, I kind of get inspired by that. But this particular song, Fire Pit, was just about all our Airbnbs during tour had a fire pit in the back.
Really?
And Zio would, like, within 5 minutes of coming into the house, Zio would be back with the fire pit already going, basically. And I was like, okay, so it kind of came like a theme, like every state that we went to, we were around a fire pit after the show that night. So I was like, we got the fire burning all night long, you know, and it was just like, let's keep going, let's keep this fire going. So yeah, that's basically what it was. It's literally about fire pits.
That's so cool. And the actual visualizers as well is just a fire pit.
Yes.
Is that from the Airbnbs?
It absolutely is.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Did you make s'mores?
Yes, I'm a big s'mores person. I like to make sure that I got my s'mores, and I've just recently found out that you can make like charcuterie s'mores now, which is like crackers and you melt the brie cheese in the fryer and then you put it. It's like next level s'mores. So I didn't get a chance to try it because we didn't have too much time, but I definitely got my s'mores in.
Wow, that's so good. The other thing I used to make on campfires was banana split.
Ooh.
Have you heard of this? Yeah.
In the aluminum foil?
Yeah. Where you put a banana and then you cut it in half and you put some chocolate buttons in it.
That sounds so good.
So good. And you like spin it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Thing to try.
And then just wrap the foil up and...
Yeah, charcuterie board.
Yeah,
all,
right?
All these options.
And for some reason, the food over fire pits taste way better. I don't know if it's just the flies coming in the food or the fires coming up. I don't know.
Protein.
It's just, yeah, right? It's always delicious. I love it.
Yeah. And you've done a medley of The Searcher and Fire Pit together,
yes,
which you're about to have a listen to. What made you combine these two songs?
So these are two separate songs on all music platforms, and I thought it would be interesting to put basically both of them together as a medley because when I wrote them, it was very close to each other. And I just thought it would be fun to kind of do an acoustic take on it, because as you heard on the Spotify, it's like all drums and different production, way different sound, way different vibe.
Yeah.
So sometimes I like to take like my same songs and turn it into something a little different.
That's the beautiful thing, I think, as well with performing music live, is you can reinvent it.
Yes.
Because once it's recorded, it's kind of recorded the same, and people will listen to it and it will always be the same. But performing a song live, you get this sense of creation again.
Yes.
Because you can just go, okay, I've done it this way, I'm going to do something else.
Yeah.
And I really like the idea of medleying two songs together. It's really fun.
Yeah, it is. It's like, oh wait, I know that song too.
Yes. So let's take a listen. This is The Searcher / The Fire Pit by Emily Sheila.
Let's go.
Travel through the mountains, saw the other seas. I thought I was searching, but what I was looking for found me. Through the rivers, through the trees, cleanse my soul, feel the breeze. Medication is the music which allows me to breathe. and turned it on. Shine that light all through the night. Spread the love, drop a dub, let the peace roll on. Find that light, keep going strong. It's a journey, so I sing my song. I got that peace and I need more patience. Help me every day, I'm learning. You know we got it, yeah. You know we got it going. Come on! You know we got it, yeah. I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it. Get some more of it. I love it, I love it, I love it, I love
The Alpha Sessions.
That was so beautiful.
Yay!
Smashed it. I love the fact that it's so stripped back as well. I think it's really nice after listening to the recorded versions and hearing that it almost has a more of a reggae feel in the recordings, whereas now it felt a little bit more laid back.
Yes.
So it's really good. And your voice is stunning.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
I love all the accents and everything you put into your voice. It's got so much texture to it.
Thank you. Thank
What's your favorite kind of thing to do with your voice?
Vocal warm-ups.
Yeah.
I'm a private voice teacher, so I have a lot of incredibly talented students that I work with, and I get them ready for their auditions for theater productions or high schools that they want to get into.
Mm.
And I do vocal warm-ups basically Monday through Friday about every other hour. And I think it's the best way to really get that foundation and be able to play with your music, just like an instrument. You know how you play, you practice, same thing with the voice.
Yeah, I think it's also really interesting because, you know, if like athletes break their foot, you can physically see it, and you can see that how you need to gain muscle, lose muscle, train it up.
Yes.
I think with vocals, it's so in here that sometimes you don't think about it as much.
Absolutely.
So it's so important to learn.
It's not
about
as like tactile that you can touch it, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it is definitely, and it's a muscle that you definitely have to work if you want it to be strong.
So I think warming up is so important, because if you were going for a run, you wouldn't just start sprinting out of your front door, would you?
Exactly. Yep.
But people go, okay, I'm just going to belt straight away.
Just sing.
And just it's like, switch it on.
Yeah. Turn on.
Yeah. And speaking of singing, being on tour at the moment, you're traveling around. I mean, you've had your Airbnb experiences, but do you have a most favorite and least favorite part of tour life?
I would have to say not being able to see like as many stuff. We try to get in like little, when I do a tour, I try to like write down like 3 major things that I want to do in that city. And yesterday I really wanted to go to the Mayflower Pub, which is where they had the ship Mayflower, and it sailed out. So I was like, let's go get some fish and chips there. So that was, you know, the highlight of that. I just wish I had like a little bit more time to explore, but then I'm like, I'm on tour, you gotta focus, get ready, get your instruments ready, and be ready for the show.
Yeah.
And then my favorite thing on tour is meeting so many incredible people.
Mm.
And like the story last night of being in the hotel that I performed at, the hotel receptionist, he was really kind. He helped me get the Uber back to our place. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to sing you a song. So I just whipped out my ukulele. I started playing to him. And it was just him by himself in the whole hotel. And he was just like, what? He was really happy. And he's like, you know what? Thank you, because I've been a bit down. And this has really just inspired me to continue.
Mm.
You know, you gave me something. And I really appreciate that. So those are the moments that I find the most rewarding.
Yeah.
Like just really connecting with someone and making them feel better.
Mm. It's so sweet as well, isn't it? And I think when you're touring, you realize how big the world is and how much music is really just a universal language.
Absolutely. And I was just telling her, I said, you know, music speaks louder than words.
Yeah.
We can connect more like that.
Yeah, definitely. And we're all kind of living on the same big floating rock.
I know, right?
It's crazy how you travel so far and you realize that everyone's kind of got the same experiences.
Yeah.
So it's kind of beautiful.
We're more connected than we think.
Yeah, definitely. And one song that I really liked, I had a huge deep dive down your discography and I kept on going and going. And one song I really liked was called Euphoria.
Oh, okay.
And I thought it was like a really different feel to a lot of your other songs. So when you're creating different songs and you're using different genres, do you find that you have a different songwriting process that leads you to having a different sound? Or do you songwrite the same and it just comes out differently?
I think it's just in that moment. I think I have many chapters of life. And it's funny you said Euphoria, because that was the very first song that I ever recorded in my whole entire life. My friend Joey had this small little recording machine, and I wrote the song outside by his pool, and he's like, come on in, let's take it down. So that was one of the very first. But when I'm writing songs, I'm not particularly like, I'm gonna go for country or soul or reggae or blues. It's kind of just like what I'm feeling at that very moment.
Yeah, and it just speaks to the soul, I think, as well, and it's coming out so authentically that then you can perform it authentically as well, and people listening can understand the music.
Yeah, because you're putting yourself in it.
Definitely. And so let's take another look at another song, Trouble. This song is so cool. I feel like I want to get in trouble and, and just like be on my journey somewhere.
Yes.
It's such like a diva moment, isn't it? What's the song about?
All right. So I just wrote this song, and it's actually about the interesting things that happen in the artist loft that I live in.
Mm.
So talking about different connections, or the lady who stomps on the floor, or the guy who has people coming in and out every 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like it was fun to kind of bring listeners into this story, Trouble. And it's like we all have trouble in life, right? Different little stories and things going on. So we're always looking for double, right?
Yeah. That's so fun. Can you share a story that actually happened in your loft then?
Ooh, without giving up too much tea, I could tell you that the floors are really thin because it is a loft, like a big industrial loft, and they didn't really make it thick. So I can hear, it sounds like bowling balls sometimes coming down, or the heels of stomping. And so I thought that's something that I'll tell you there, but I don't want to get too deep into the other story.
Well, maybe we
whatever can... you perceive it as, that's what I want you to see.
Okay, cool. Well, after listening to the song, I think I have a few ideas, but we'll let the listeners have an idea
exactly.
as well. So this is Trouble by Emily Sheila.
Trouble, 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 trouble. All we do is look for double. Trouble, 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 trouble. All we do is look for double. And why can't I just be friends with the lady next door? And why can't I just let go of the lady who stomps on the floor? Looking around at these people, there ain't nothing we can't solve. So many answers to questions, but will we answer them at all? We got trouble, 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 trouble. All we do is look for trouble. Trouble, 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 trouble. All we do is look for trouble. For more friends, and when they come knocking, they leave every 30 minutes. And my friend's got a young man who put her in the slam. And when she got her getaway, she went right back to that man. All we do is look for trouble.
Woo! The Alpha Sessions.
Well, that was such a fun song, wasn't it? I hope everyone at home understands now what we're on about.
Right?
Yeah.
But however they perceive it, you know?
Yeah. Maybe the trouble is just doing everyday things.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. And yeah, that's actually a great way to say that.
Yeah. I was actually, I nearly got in trouble last night because I was at a bar and I ordered a drink and I walked away and he was like, oh, you haven't paid yet. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize.
Oh my goodness.
And he was like, I'm sure you didn't. I was like, I actually don't. I normally.
I didn't realize. Yeah.
He's like, no, I believe you. You don't seem like the type. And I was like,
oh my goodness.
It's so embarrassing though when that happens, isn't it?
Right? And it's like, I promise you it wasn't on purpose.
So you have to walk back and try not to spill your drink.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fun. So what other moments in your life do you feel like you feel proud of yourself? Because you've toured with a lot of cool people, you've been support act. Is there a moment that you've been like, wow, this is it, like this is the career that I want to be in?
Yeah, it's every time I perform and I see people the way that they have reacted, like, you know, how I hit them hard in the heart. It makes me very thankful, you know. And that's the reason why I perform, because I want it to be therapeutic for them. I want them to take it in, let go of their worries and their stress. And something that I'm extremely proud of on the side is actually my students. They have to watch them go on stage and see their confidence grow every single recitals that I have for them. That right there gives me a lot of happiness, because I know that they're going to grow up and they're going to have their own experiences and journeys as a musician or as an artist.
I think it's so nice as well to see what you can do with other people, because I think music is about sharing.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's about community and kind of, you write a song, someone else sings it, you write a song together. There's so many moments where it's just about two people or more people or a crowd sharing an experience and sharing a journey together. So having students, it must feel so empowering for them and for you to have music in common.
Yes.
And be growing together.
Yeah, it just feels like a jam with them, because I know they're like, half of them are songwriters or you know, want to be in the theater, and it is honestly, it's just as I get just as much as it out of it as they get out of the lessons too. So it's a really nice vibe.
Yeah, and you've got quite a nice upbeat feeling in your songs. It all feels like you want to build this positive message. But what would you want your listeners to feel when they're listening to your music?
I want them to just let go of anxiety, stress, worries, lay down in a big grassy field, put some headphones on, and just zone out.
That's beautiful. Yeah. And I actually zoned out to one of your songs.
Oh, nice.
Because I was listening to it and it was so trancy. It was just going on loops and I loved it. It was just, I could imagine it in like a festival field.
Oh, yeah.
and just kind of getting lost in the music.
Yes, thank you.
Would you ever remix your songs?
Oh, absolutely. Like, yes. Yeah, yeah, I would like to. If I had like a DJ that wanted to make like a drum and bass track out of one of my songs, I'd be like, go for it.
Yeah.
I actually have a song that was remixed by another DJ and he kind of did a remix on it. So it's Tarantula, if you want to check that one out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that one. And it's about a spider, isn't it?
Tarantula is about, that song is a kind of, it was inspired by a tree, actually, in the backyard. I was a singing skeleton in a jazz band one Halloween night, and there was a tree in the back of Stacy's backyard, and the moon was just coming right through. It was a full moon coming through the leaves. And just from that view, I was like, ooh, I want to write something that pulls in the listener, and lavender and lilac trace down your skin. Like, the song is very, like,
Yeah, very spooky.
Yeah,
especially for spooky season.
Entrancing tarantula, you know?
Maybe you could dress as it for Halloween.
Right? It could be a tarantula.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Dress as your own music.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Yeah.
And you could get everyone else to dress as in different songs.
Songs, yeah.
Yeah. It's very Taylor Swift.
I know, right?
I feel like it would be so funny, though. Like, I think I'm going to dress as Honey G this Halloween.
All right.
Do you know Honey G?
What are you going to wear for that?
Like, a gold jacket. So she was known for, she kind of looks like, with like the jewels, like the big jewelry,
the heavy chains.
Yeah.
I think had, I know who glasses. Honey G is now that you're
she was like this character that went on, I think it was X Factor or Britain's Got Talent, one of the two. And she was just such a like iconic audition.
Yeah.
And so she would be like, when you say honey, I say G. Yeah. So I think I want to dress as her because I've got this beautiful golden jacket that I've not had the opportunity to wear, but I love dressing as like people for Halloween.
Yeah.
And just doing something a bit different. Like, one of my friends dressed as Bob Ross.
Oh my gosh. Which is quite funny. I love that.
So yeah, maybe every year you could dress as a different song.
Yeah, I might actually. That's a very good idea.
Go through it.
Yeah.
Or like for an album party or something. It could be a really fun
different
idea.
Outfit. Each song though would be in Doc Martens though.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm normally wearing my Docs, but I don't actually have them on today. It's like the first time in a while that I've not worn them.
Yeah.
Shame now, because we would have been matching.
I know. It's like my staple. They're so comfortable.
Yeah, they're really comfy, aren't they?
Yeah.
Mine are white though, so they're really dirty.
Oh, but that gives it that vibe, you know? Yeah. Makes it authentic.
And they've just got loads of like holes in.
Yep, I'm getting that in. I actually kind of like that when the boots are worn down, because it's like you've gone on adventures.
Exactly. These boots are made for walking.
Right?
Why not? That's what they were designed for, and I end up in so many random festival fields with them, so... They need to walk through the mud.
Right?
Yeah, they're so good. And they last.
And by the way, we're not sponsored by Docs. So.
No, we're really not.
Yeah.
But also could get a pair if you want. There's also like, I used to wear just normal boots and then they would break every year. So I was like, I need a good pair of boots. Mm-hmm. That's why I got my Docs.
Yeah.
Because I live in boots.
Someone said to me that Doc Martens will live longer than you. And I was like, what? And then I got me a pair of Docs and then another one and then another one and then another. And I was like, all right, I'm on this Doc train.
I don't blame you. I feel like mine actually might not live longer than me though, because with the rate that I'm walking in them.
You're wearing them down fast.
Yeah, I really am.
Well, that's good. That's good.
And also so clumsy. I walk into everything. So the poor boots have seen a lot of poles.
Me too.
Yeah. So the last song that you played for us is Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
And this is a really beautiful song. It's also quite different from your other songs. And you were playing the ukulele. So talk me through, why are you using a ukulele, first of all, compared to a guitar?
So one day I just decided I really wanted to play the ukulele. So I went to a music store, bought the ukulele, and then ever since then it was just love. Mm. And I have certain songs that I feel need a lighter touch, not as strong as the guitar. And I want to show more of my vocals off on that. So I think the ukulele is a really nice placement for these type of songs.
Yeah. And you've got this really cool thing you do, this like almost distorting your voice. It's like, ah! So,
the rasp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you discover you could do that?
You know what? I have no idea. I have no idea. I started just, I guess, like, I don't know. One day I was just like growling. And I was
just
like, okay,
through the woods,
like, this is me. It feels good. I like this. Mm. And then that was it.
It's really cool, and it feels like part of your signature vocal style.
Yes.
I love the fact, and it's not all the time, but when it comes in, you're like, wow, there it is again.
Yeah, oh,
it's
thank
really
you.
Cool. And for this one, it's kind of a softer growl as well, so it's not as like intense as the other songs.
Yeah.
But it's still there. It gives it a bit of texture, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
Do you find as a vocal teacher, though, when people are doing things like growling or like whistle notes or something that is quite... can be harmful for the voice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you train them really hard to like do it with you first and then?
So how I go towards that is, once again, like the vocal warm-ups, that's like taking your voice to the gym.
Mm.
And I say, as long as you feel comfortable and you have your air, your breath support, and you know, you're open on the vowels, then go for it.
Yeah.
But if you feel strained, tightened, or anything like that, then I say, we're going to stop there and let's do something else.
Yeah.
So I give them multiple options to, you know, but I always want them to explore their own sounds and their own styles. And I like to listen to see, because everybody has their own little ways of singing, you know? So just giving them some air to breathe with their voice. But if it's technically wrong for the vocal cords, I'll be like, yeah, no, that's not happening.
No. And certain voices are different anyway, and some people can do things that other people can't do just because of the physics and the body is funny, and it's such a tiny little thing,
right? We all have our own little saxophones in here.
Yeah They're like tiny little balls that are just like vibrating.
Yeah.
And but it's crazy to think that it all makes that much noise, and
you've
got such a powerful voice, and I bet you could like walk down the street and you could probably project it down the street.
Oh
easily.
Yeah, last night at the show I got in front of the microphone and I just started walking down the aisle of people, And I was just filling up the whole room with my voice. I was like, I want to show these people I don't really need a microphone. Yeah. But here we go.
You should.
Yeah.
And I think it's so cool to do that. And once you find the natural resonance of the room as well, it sounds so beautiful. And you sounded really nice in here.
Yeah. Thank you. So, thank you.
Should we take a listen?
Let's do it.
This is Romeo and Juliet.
Ow!
Alpha Sessions.
Right, so we're back. That was Romeo and Juliet. What was the song about for you? How did it come about?
Romeo and Juliet, I was just talking about basically the idea of love and that like unreal type of love that is way too perfect. And you know, love is not like that, you know. It's got its struggles, it's all these different things in it, in relationships. So I was just kind of writing about how, you know, the story of Romeo and Juliet and just that type of like whimsical type of love.
Yeah.
So that was the idea behind that song.
Mm. And do you feel like love is as whimsical in real life as it is in Romeo and Juliet?
Yeah, actually I do. Yeah. Even though it's got its struggles, you know, but if love is something that is stronger than anything, you know, so something, love is always something you have to work at, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's sometimes not hard, but it's always worth it.
Yes, yes.
I think.
Yeah.
That's really fun. And I think as well, when you're touring, do you find when you're coming up with your set lists, do you keep them the same for each show or do you cater them to each venue?
I cater them to each venue. I like to like check out the vibe, see what's going on, and then I'll go in the back, write my set list, and then hit the stage. So, yeah.
What makes you decide what order to sing your songs in then?
Basically, kind of how I want to give the energy of the night. So if I feel like people are coming in kind of like slowish and they're like, oh, we're here, then I'm going to be like, let's go. Let's do some upbeat songs. Or if I feel they're more like relaxed or maybe we'll do some chill songs. I don't know. I kind of just, it's like in that moment, you know, and I'm like, I'll do these songs and whatnot.
Yeah. I think that's the best way to do it because then the audience are probably going to be in the right frame of mind to listen to the songs.
Yeah. And something that I also do is I practice like all of my songs. Mm. That way I can pick and choose which like songs I want to do for the set. And that way they're ready to go.
Mm. Do you find sometimes you're like, oh, I forgot that song existed when you haven't played it for a while?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like at this point, there's songs where I'm like, what is the lyrics to that one? I have to kind of go back and then it clicks in. And then people are like, you're forgetting your lyrics. I'm like, well, when you've written like a lot of songs, it starts to happen.
Yeah, I feel that.
That's why it's good to always practice, right?
Yeah, you have to practice. And then at least you know.
Yeah. Oh, then I remember it like right away. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, although I feel like sometimes with songs, you can make it up anyway because people don't really know what it's supposed to be. So to degree, you can kind of get away with it.
Sometimes. Yeah. I have some people that sing along while I'm performing, so I like make sure that I'm singing the right lyrics because they're like, honey! They're like, and I'm like, okay, I got to sing this one right.
Yeah, you've got to do it. So what is something that you've learnt now that you wish you would have learnt earlier in your career?
To be more patient, yeah, and enjoy the ride. I always thought, like, I want to get there, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do that. But it's just more now that I'm realizing it's the journey, and it's enjoy the little things because they all add up.
I love that. Yeah. And there's some of your music where the album covers are, like, artsy and collage-y. Do you make those album covers yourself?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
Yeah, I love to collage.
Yeah.
So I started Fire Pit, The Searcher, and a couple of other songs. I like to use them as the album cover.
Yeah.
And then I like to give out those art pieces as well to, you know, to fans.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, so someone has that?
Not yet, but I'm going to give it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so cool.
I just have to, like, let go of it first.
Yeah.
Myself.
That's the hardest part about art. You've got to let go eventually. Yes.
Yeah. I definitely do want people to have my collages for my album art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Fire Pit, in the recording, the start is really cool. You've got some really cool, like, vocals that I won't attempt, but it's quite a, like, almost scatty, but not quite. What inspired you to create those vocals?
That scat part, I would just say, just from the previous scats that I normally do, I kind of like to add different vocal techniques and songs just to bring the listener in.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're about to listen to a song, so let's go. Ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding, you know, things like that.
It's really cool. And do you scat a lot in your live performances as well?
Yes. Love doing it. Yeah.
Then at least when you forget your lyrics, you can just be like...
Yeah, let's go. Exactly.
Yeah. That's fun. And I think as well, when you're in front of an audience, sometimes it can all just feel a bit like, oh no, what's going on? But they have no idea what's going in your head anyway.
Oh yeah, exactly.
They're just looking like, wow, she knows what she's doing.
Yeah, yeah. Just always do it confidently. They'll never know.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have anything coming up apart from the tour? Do you have any music that's coming out soon that we can look forward to?
Yes, I have a new song coming out with Skill and Jaw featured on it. And I should be releasing it either during this tour or maybe when I get back. So, yeah. That'll and then I've got a few more songs as well that will be, you know, released as well.
Yeah, so lots to look forward to.
Yes.
You've been releasing a lot this year as well. A good, like, probably 8 songs.
Yeah.
So what made you start releasing so much this year?
I just realized to not be so critical with myself and to just let the music go. If they like it, they don't. They like it, they like it. They don't like it, they don't like it. It's, well, at the end of the day, it helped me get through something and it helped me grow. So I like to just, you know, it's like a therapeutic session doing a song and then letting it go out into the world.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to seeing all of that. That's so exciting. We've got even more music on the way.
Yes, yeah.
And good luck with the rest of your tour. I hope it goes really well.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Alpha Sessions. This is Emily Sheila. Thank you.
All right.
The Alpha Sessions.